and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We're a podcast where we like to go around to cool art things and see what's good with them. My name is Alice.
And I'm Rosie.
And something we like to do here on Hey Art, What's Good? Is to see what's good with us. Sometimes we do things and that's cool and fun and we like to talk about it. So Rosie, what's good with you?
What's good with me is I woke up this morning to a text from my mum.
I thought you were going to end it there. I was like, I woke up this morning like, hey!
Yeah, mission accomplished. It's a struggle. I got a text from my mum just simply saying there's avocados on your doorstep, and there was. She'd like found barcode cancelled avocados and dropped them off.
I love it. Not a knock on the door. Nope. Like, I know what Rosie wants. She wants avocados and nothing else.
Yeah, doesn't want to talk to me, doesn't want to be disturbed.
But that's just amazing. Wants avocados. That's kind of like, there's a meme, I'm sure, like a meme format. It's like, oh, I heard you like such and such. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, look outside.
Literally, me and my mum.
That's amazing.
It reminds me of another meme of like, I can't remember what it is, but me and Jacob talk about it all the time.
Okay.
Where it's like millennials, and they're like something like 100,000 avocados, please.
That's
and
the one.
Me smiling wisely, one house, please.
Well, get a girl who can do both.
Yeah.
Because as it turns out, you have both those things.
Yay.
Both avocados and a home.
Oh, it's lovely.
What a concept.
I wish it upon everyone that likes those things.
Oh, well, there we go.
If you don't like avocados or homes, it's all right. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, not for you.
What about you, Alice? What is good?
Well, what's good with me is, I feel as though I've said it at some point in this podcast, is a thing I was looking forward to. Well, it's finally happened. I am an associate member at the Newbridge Project.
Nice.
And as such, I can use their darkroom. So I've been doing some darkroom printing.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm not that good yet, but it's
just
a process.
Started.
I did just start. Thank you, Rosie.
I understand. No, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, I've got one nice print, and I was going to show you earlier, but then I forgot until just now. So I'll show you when we're done. That turned out quite all right, and I think
nice.
It's still in my bag. So
if you want to see it, we'll put it on socials. So
sure.
Get in touch, because I'm sure it'll be lovely, and I want to post it on stuff.
Yeah. I'll send you a photo of it.
Gotta celebrate our own art
as
well.
So we do that sometimes.
But to speak of something that isn't our own art...
How dare you? On this podcast?
No way. We're going to talk to you a little bit about The Hatton today.
Hell yeah, we are. Because it's been a while, really. What was the last thing we saw at The Hatton / talked about on this podcast? Was it Ellen Gallagher and Francis Bacon?
I think it was. It was a while ago.
That was ages ago.
It was ages ago.
I've been there so many times since then. Dang.
Yeah, no, we dropped the ball. But this has been great. There's loads of stuff on at the minute.
There's quite a bit. We're going to talk about one of them because... there's just a ton.
Yeah. We couldn't do it all justice.
No.
So take things one step at a time.
Yeah. Good way to get through life, one step at a time.
And just like last time, The Hatton has given us an amazing opportunity to see some like proper historical art.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, historical's like makes it sound like it's really old. But it's like an important piece of art history. We're going to go and see Roy Lichtenstein.
Yes. Lichtenstein?
Lichtenstein. I've always said Lichtenstein.
Because there's like the country, right? Lichtenstein. And that's spelt the same way, maybe? Question mark.
Why are you asking me these things?
It's a good question,
like,
Rosie.
You want to fall out with me?
Oh, I don't know. Imagine. Like, so I did it.
Oh, dump me on air.
No, yeah, Roy Lichtenstein. It's part, well, so this is a fun thing, which you might not have known, because I didn't until I read the Geek Big Wall of Information. So it's called Artist Rooms, Roy Lichtenstein. Like, oh, that's cool. There are some rooms of this art by this one artist. However, it's part of a wider nationwide kind of thingamabobby where you get to see, like, kind of prolific artists' works at, like, your local gallery. I'm sure it's been going on since, like, 2008 or something, like, a while. And as it turns out, it's ending, like, in January of 2020. I'm pretty sure The Hatton's the last one, so I can't say. Go check all these out. There are a few things. There's like five exhibitions that are still part of this. There's one at either the Tate or the Tate Modern in London, which you can see for free until April, which is cool because I'm sure that thing usually costs something in Wales and some places in other places. I'll put links to them on the blog post. But I actually saw another one of this Arts Rooms things and didn't realise. Yeah,
no way.
At the National Portrait Gallery in Edinburgh when me and Amy went in like June.
What? What a small world.
Right? So we went to go see, not today, last time, Self-Evidence, Photographs by Woodman, Arbus and Mapplethorpe. We'll say Mapplethorpe. Okay. I don't know who Woodman is, but you know, Diane Arbus and Robert Mapplethorpe, like, they're biggies in the world of photography.
They're the big, so the big art.
Yes. The head honchos, if you will. So I was quite excited to see all that back then. And then I'm sure I said in the episode we did about it, I'd write a blog post. Didn't do it.
So, sorry about it.
But that was cool. And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I love Diane Arbus. And yeah. She's like, OG American photographer, New York, 1930s, 40s.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed. Yeah. So it's kind of cool seeing that. And then so this one with Roy Lichtenstein, he was like a pioneer of pop art in the 1960s. Because yes. a lot of things happened in the 60s, yeah. as I'm learning.
So
just
I want to say,
generally.
Like, a contemporary of like Warhol and stuff. And it's yes. that same like playing with like mass produced art and like consumerism and like kind of just common imagery, like changing what the icon is, and like yeah. loads of different influences from pop culture, thus pop art. Hello, welcome. Ooh. Welcome to the art podcast.
Yes.
So this is just a fabulous opportunity, because you will have seen some Lichtenstein before.
Absolutely.
Everyone has, even if you don't know, you have.
Mm-hmm.
So who he is he's the dude that his work is from the 60s and looks like comic books.
Yes.
And that's pretty much the best basic description you can get, I think.
I think so.
That's all you need.
Like, something I was thinking about when I was like writing some notes for this episode is like, because I mean, at first I was like, ah, pop art, okay, I guess. It's like, I've seen so much of it. It was like, people hadn't seen any of it
yeah.
when this was a thing. So that's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah, this was brand new. And this is, so I think back, like way back, when was the camera invented? Like, when did the camera properly become mainstream?
On mainstream?
Yeah,
okay.
Like when Kodak and stuff.
I would definitely say by like the 1890s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like
late
1800s.
Normal people had cameras in like the 1890s.
Yes, because that's the same time that like Impressionism really started taking off. And that's because like, so art changed because technology changed.
Yeah.
And I think maybe pop art's a good example of that. But maybe more in the like consumer culture changed, and then art changed to respond to that.
Yeah.
And because 60s, I think, is when things started being more toward like geared toward convenience.
Absolutely.
And like mass produced things.
Just stuff.
And like,
yeah.
I like to say, like, that was really like the beginning of like the age of plastic.
Oh,
like
this, absolutely.
I think that's like maybe the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Because
well,
by the 80s, greed was good.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it will spiral from there and here we are.
Well, I think definitely from the late 50s, 60s, you had like Bakelite cameras, just talking about old filmy cameras. Like Bakelite is like just a type of plastic, and those things have like stuck around.
Really?
Like you can still get like a Bakelite, like Kodak Brownie from like the 60s that is like in good nick. It's all hard plastic, baby. That stuff ain't gonna biodegrade. So you can still take a photo on it if you want to.
Alice just told me a great story about when she was getting drunk on the streets of Rome with her mum and dropped her camera. And then her mum was like, oh no, your camera.
Yeah.
And I, what was it you said?
I was like, no, it's Soviet, baby. The stuff's built to last.
That's what that reminded me of. Top notch.
Yes. Top quality bands.
So yeah, it was kind of looking at like pop arts, looking at art as a product, which
yep.
I think maybe was the first, well, maybe not the first time that's happened, but in this new like...
I think quite a big different way.
Yeah, it, like consumerism changed and therefore like the product changed, and yeah, it all became like really exciting. So the like typical trait of pop art and that Lichtenstein falls into is using... well, firstly, methods of like mass producing things, and these images we saw are like selection of them were prints,
mm-hmm.
so screen prints from the 90s, I think.
That was a whole selection of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, and screen printing in itself is like mass producing mm-hmm. in a sense, because I mean it's not mass produced, but as
yeah.
far as art goes, that's as pretty mass as it can get. It's not like a one of a kind. So, but it's too much. I'm just getting too much into it. But I like as well the kind of using iconography from
yeah.
pop culture. So there's a lot of like, there's Wonder Woman, there's like comic book stuff,
yeah.
there's adverts, there's just like general, I mean even just explosions,
so like
and
quite
things.
Recognizable kind of subject matters thing. So
but in a really weird way.
Yeah, well, that's something I wanted to talk about because I did like some Googling of him because I'd never heard of him. Heard of Andy Warhol.
Yeah, and you
was
will
he
have,
British? That... Was he American?
He was American.
Right. I don't know why I haven't heard of this dude, but...
But I think this happens a lot with art, that you know their work and you don't know them. Mm-hmm. So you will have known this artwork, but you wouldn't have known who did it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a little bit of a curse.
Yeah, well, because something I was like looking into was like a contemporary criticism at the time was like, oh, well, he's just literally copying panels from comic books, which he kind of was.
Yeah.
But like kind of by and large, that was itself some kind of like commentary or whatever on the stuff it was about and the kind of consumer culture and all that jazz. But there's a whole, like, I mean, should we jump into favourites right now? Because these are my favourites.
If it goes naturally, do it.
Oh, right. Thank you. There's a whole wall of stuff in like, I want to say the main room in the Hatton. That means nothing, I don't think, because there are all the rooms in the Hatton are quite big.
Yeah, and they're all like the same-ish size.
It's the one, so say you go in from the back entrance, like not the fancy oldie-timey entrance, like the glassy entrance, which I thought for the longest time was the main entrance. Of course it's not. It's got an actual door somewhere. But if you go in through this way and through the gift shop, if you go right past the gift shop, it's in that room.
Yeah. It's like right next to the desk.
Yeah, the desk in the gift shop. There's a whole kind of wall of stuff, which is part of like a Reflections series.
Yeah.
And that was my favourite bit because this is, so East became like quite big and known for pop art in like the 60s when it became a thing. And then all of these pieces, Rosie said before, are screen prints from the 90s. And they're quite, you know, sizable. Like, what? I always want to say stuff in foot. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be like the metric system, but...
I mean, like a majority of them were like...
meter and a half wide.
I was going to say, yeah, like meter and a meter and a half or something.
Like quite big and just on a kind of surface level, if you think of how like a comic strip, like a single panel is like... what, a couple inches or something like that? Yeah. Like quite small. I'm sorry, 2.5 centimeters. I don't know.
Maybe 6 centimeters.
Yeah, that's probably a couple inches. That's probably more right.
Less terribly wrong.
Yeah, less just wholly incorrect. But on some one hand, that's just cool anyways, because I've said it before, I'll say it again. I love it when art's just big. Obviously, that doesn't inherently mean it's better or good, but I simply love it. I'm like, wow, that's massive. Like, who knew?
And there's some things you see. I was talking about Impressionism before, and it's the first time I ever saw a Monet, like, mm-hmm. of, like, these water lilies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Walked in, I was like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Bloody like, huge.
Damn, dude.
Like, I've seen it online, and it's like, that's a pretty picture. Yeah. And then you get up to it, and it's like... it's like bigger than any house. Like there's no way it can only go in a gallery. Like it's just
I haven't seen it IRL.
There's just loads and he loved a big canvas. I'm sure he did like it was just yeah. We'll go see some Monet sometime. Watch this space.
Sponsor us France, please. All of France.
Every French person. If every French person just gives us a euro.
Jesus.
Then we'd be rich.
We really would be. Christ.
And then we do an episode about you. So
that's the one thing you get. What was I saying? Yes, the Reflection series. So it has a double meaning, which I think is delightful. Because on one hand, it's literally he's printed on and drawn on, painted on, however he did it. Like a reflection on each of these pieces. So as Rosie said before, it was like a Wonder Woman one, and it's like one of our catchphrases, which is Merciful Minerva,
which is great,
which is fun. Don't know much about Minerva. She was a Roman god.
Yes, of I want to say like something like battle or something cool,
something that Wonder Woman would like, you know, talk about, I guess. She fought a lot, but like he's like literally kind of drawn on, don't know what the word is, like reflections, as though it was either, so my mind goes to your places, one, behind glass, because you know, like just think of how comic books kind of draw like glass or mirrors or something like that. Yeah. It's like kind of like sheen with a little bit of a wiggle in there. Or I was thinking, because it's kind of like comic booky poppy, like, do you know you can get like your pristine editions of a comic book like in like a wrapper?
Oh wow, that's a great idea. Yeah, I like that.
Right, because then whichever one it is, that automatically kind of implies a certain amount of like preciousness, not wealth, what's the word, like it's worth something.
Yeah.
If it's got protected. Value, yeah. Yeah, got value. So then obviously there's a third level on this because it's actually in an art gallery in a frame, which has a pane of glass on it. So it's like just a whole thing. I just thought it was like a fun thing.
Oh, I like that. And I never would have thought of that. Ah. This is what this podcast's all about.
We learn together, guys.
Oh, I love it.
Because we saw this separately.
Yeah.
Like, we're technically saw it together, but it was like at a Hatton, like one of the, it was the opening for the other exhibition they've got. The Fairground Abstract, I think it's called, by Lothar Goetz.
Yes.
Because there was the opening for that, but then this was already open. So we had more wine and we went for a little circuit around the gallery.
And wasn't there also something going on with System?
Yes.
So there was just loads of stuff.
It was a busy night and we didn't really see art that much. So we individually went back to the Hatton to like see some things.
And it's well worth it.
It's so good.
Because it, like, skimmed it obviously and I was this is great.
Ooh, it looks cool,
but then like it's nice just to go back and then it's so much quieter after the preview and you can probably take your time and it's very like, and because it's like so bright, it's just fun. And you don't have to dwell on it, you don't have to like stare at it for ages, and there's nothing like this is a beautiful thing with pop art, there's nothing to get.
Yes,
like, if you see it you can either take it for what it is or you can look for these like icons and stuff, and that's it. That's, you've got it.
Yeah.
And there's loads of subtleties and stuff that you can like write an essay on if you really wanted to. But at the end of the day, it's just fun.
It is, and that's just nice. Like, that's why you see all these kind of reproductions of general pop art things, which is why I was at first was like, oh, pop art, cool, I guess. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it in Poundland. I've seen it in The Simpsons.
That's which... it. In, like, you will have seen things resembling Liechtenstein in all, you'll have like, yeah, calendars, postcards, t-shirts, like fabric design, adverts. I'm sure I've seen adverts for, what was it? Something stupid, like because Car Phone Warehouse had their own like insurance you could get, and they give you a leaflet and it's very comic booky. And it was very, and yeah, just all this stuff. I've seen his work in Amsterdam before.
Oh, really?
In a gallery that does really good mint tea. That doesn't narrow it down, but
the Dutch love mint tea.
I hate mint tea.
Because the Dutch love it so much, one, you can get it everywhere, and two, everywhere tries to outdo themselves with how fancy their mint tea is. So usually you can get it with like a nice, like perfectly see-through glass with just hot water with mint leaves. So people go an extra mile and have kind of like edible flowers and stuff in there. And I was like, oh, wow, that seems cool. That looks really nice. Had it. Hate it. I don't mind mint, but that is far too minty.
I can imagine if you didn't like it, it would be like drinking toothpaste water.
Yes, it was like that.
But I do like it.
Well, you can keep your toothpaste water.
All the more for me.
But kind of circling back to the icon thing you were talking about, one of the other reflections ones, which you kind of do get it and kind of don't get it. It's a recognizable cartoon comic strip thingy. Don't know what it's one of the American ones, which is why I don't know it. But like, Charlie Brown. I think it's Charlie Brown.
Oh, really?
Well, it's hard to tell because it's like just a little boy in a comic, just screaming his face off, and you know he's screaming because he's got the lines coming out of his mouth, which implies volume. But that piece is called Reflections on the Scream, and so it's like, oh, the kid's screaming, cool. But then it's also like a obvious homage to Edvard Munch's The Scream.
Yeah.
So you've went from this expressionist, terrifying, bloody painting to this cute, fun, pop arty thingy. But then it's kind of like, because The Scream itself, like, just that's been parodied in so many ways. There was a Simpsons episode. Like, I remember the actual episode. It's like Homer is talking to Marge about something, and he's talking about, like, he's daydreaming as he's talking to her about playing foosball, and it's with, like, famous artworks, only two. So it's with David, like, you know, that geek big naked statue man.
Don't think the clock start melt. Isn't there a Dolly?
There is a Dolly one. I think that might be the same episode, but it's a different scene I'm thinking of. But then the Scream also just comes up and goes, me, when Homer asks who am I playing next on this foosball table.
Isn't there a bit where he, like, trips out in an art gallery and then, like, with Andy Warhol Venus de Milo or something's throwing cans of soup at him?
It sounds like something that would happen in The Simpsons. But, ooh, different one is when it's like
the gummy Venus de Milo.
Yeah, that's sweet, sweet. It's like that.
She can't get very far. She's got no arms.
But then it's super duper sour. So then he eats it and then his entire face goes like inside out. All we're need saying to chill is out. Watch The Simpsons.
Should we just start a podcast about The Simpsons?
Oh, we literally could. There's about 1 million episodes. Oh my God, I would love that
right,
so
let us
much.
Know if that's what you want next.
Let us know in the comments below.
Should we pack up the art thing and do a Simpsons podcast instead?
Oh my God. It has to exist. I'm going to Google it after this. We'll do that.
If we find it, we'll tell you.
Yeah, oh, believe me.
And if it's good, we'll tell you.
Okay.
Because that's what we do here.
That's kind of what we do.
Good.
Yep.
Bring it back.
But there was a point. Yes. So just
sorry, I keep interrupting.
Oh no, I went off on that tangent. Don't you worry. Just kind of seeing that, and obviously it's like him kind of parodying that. But then I love it because it's already been parodied so many times before that. Like
it's a meme.
It is a meme. So there's just like layers upon layers of reflection.
Think of it this way, guys: called. Art, the original meme.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it was the sharing of images and like icons. Mm-hmm. That's like icons are a meme because they mm-hmm. pass from image to image and like survive and like remain, like they keep their integrity even yeah. though they like pass on through images and stuff. So cool.
It's
and that's
cool.
Pop art's so good at that.
Yeah.
And to go into a bit more depth about like how it resembles comic books, mm-hmm. I wanted like... They just really quickly touch upon it.
Oh no, please.
Obviously, you can get on Instagram at HeyArtWhatsGood and Twitter at HeyArtWhatsGood, and we'll like have posted pictures and stuff. You can Google Roy Lichtenstein and it'll be fabulous. But we're a podcast and we like to try and push the boat out and do a bit of visual analysis.
Hell yeah, we do.
So the most distinctive thing, I think, is the little circles.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll know if you know Lichtenstein. Do you know when comic books are like all printed, like really cheap, really like especially in America, it was really cheap paper that'd be made like every day and it's like there'd be like a penny or something. So because especially like back in like the 50s and 60s. Mm. So it would be really cheap ink and really cheap printing methods. And they'd use little dots to kind of give tone and depth to images because you only have black and white, like positive and negative space to play around with. And so he's taken these and it would be like mass produced to just get this kind of, it'd be just a layer mm. of like perfect circles and yeah. of different sizes,
like,
and
generic
things, and
then, texture number one.
Yeah, exactly. But what Lichtenstein did is he hand drew them, he hand painted these circles. Obviously it's different for his screen prints, mm. but still I think that's like the point still remains. So it's taking something that people then especially would have looked at and thought that's nothing special mm-hmm. because they would assume it was mass produced, which it wasn't.
Yeah.
He'd gone in and done all of these details, which is just like mind-blowing to me. And to come up with that, I think, so original, because it was
like
groundbreaking. To use a comic book and to claim comic book art is fine art and belongs in an art world was quite a bold statement, because as I said, comics at the time were like cheap, a bit nasty maybe. Mm-hmm. Because another person that was like kind of a very different route was Robert Crumb in the 60s, and he was doing comic books.
What a good
books.
Name, first
yeah.
of all.
He did, was it Fritz the Cat and stuff? So he kind of went the other way, and he was doing comic books, but he was doing these insane drawings that
Ooh.
Are really intensely good. If you like line drawings and sketches, Robert Crumb.
Okay.
So it's like, I'm just thinking about contemporaries and like what are other people doing around about the same time and which directions are they taking it in. So that's another kind of route to go down if you're interested in comic book related art that isn't maybe a comic book mm-hmm. artist, if that makes sense. But yeah, so it's these like dots that are mostly like, I think, that are specific to his body of work.
Yeah.
Coupled with like block colors and then the bright patterns and bold black outlines.
Yeah,
that's the aesthetic, and it is an aesthetic that has carried on for like 50-60 years now.
Yeah,
it's like
it's alive and well.
It is good. No, it's just like it is, it's pure, it's pop art in the sense that it is still popular.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
fab job. Well done.
It's just very cool. Well, kind of to like talking about like kind of the handmade element of it and like how it's not, I mean, I'm not just drawn. I was going to say that that's not a thing, because drawing is very difficult and cool. But there's like a piece in this, I think he did several similar to it, just called Brushstroke. So it's like a really big bit, and it's just looks like, you know, like a singular kind of brushstroke of paint. And I mean, if you think like contemporaries were like Jackson Pollock, is that his name? Yeah, well, that done. One. Where he's like, they splash and paint all over the shop. And obviously it's not, well, it's not easy. Obviously he had a thingy in mind, but to literally have some paint on your brush and just give it a stroke, arguably fairly easy.
Yeah.
But then to painstakingly create
a brush stroke,
paint and print or whatever, a massive brush stroke, it was just really cool. I really enjoyed that.
For all that reason, that is my favorite.
I
wasn't going to stop you because I wanted you to introduce it.
Okay.
It's absolutely, for me, it was like just the standout piece. Ooh. I thought it was so funny. Like, I'd laugh at that. I almost laughed out loud. It made me smile.
Oh, good.
And that's what I mean. It was just a fun. Like, I went after work, so it was a fun after work.
Yeah. Treat.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, I just love that. I think it's really, it's tongue-in-cheek and it's funny and it's like poking fun at like, because if this is like a new type of art, mm-hmm. so he's poking fun at old types of art, but it's also kind of like making fun of pop art because it's taking something that could be made quite easily and going in this really roundabout way to making that happen.
Yep, I love it.
And it's looking, I don't know if it looks at things in a really unconventional way. It's shedding new light on stuff because it's making the form of the brushstroke. It's like, it is celebrating the form of a brushstroke.
Pretty much.
But like, without a brush or a stroke.
Yes. Yeah.
No paint. Really weird because he's got the depth of it. Like, do you know when you wiggle your paintbrush and like the paint overlaps?
He's
captured it, and there's even like a splash coming off of it. It's just lush. I loved it.
It's pretty nice.
And it wasn't the biggest and it wasn't the flashiest, and it's definitely not the most complicated.
No.
But it's my favorite, and no one can take that away from me.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it was just really just fun and cool.
Yeah, also, I can give you a fun fact about, apparently I know loads of artists from this era.
Hey!
Jackson Pollock. Everyone should know Jackson Pollock. It's one of those scenarios.
The messy, splashy, painty dude.
You'll know his work if you don't know him. American, and it's like loads of, splashy paint, really like you load his paintbrush and like flick it at the page, apparently, and they'd be huge. Mm. Like, his paintings were massive.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had probably like nearing like mid-career by this point, but like he had super control over what he was doing. He could make the paint go wherever he wanted to go, so it looks really random, but it's not.
It's quite specific.
Oh, cool.
That is pretty cool.
Would never have guessed. Because I like, again, I could talk about it at uni all the time, but I did uni, I think it was my second year of uni. I did like a project about like how much control does the artist have over the final product of their work.
Oh.
So I was looking at like, is it fate? Mm. Like, or is it destiny? That was pretty much what I talked about. And it was really fun
because
I just got to like throw paint at the page and stuff and
that
have a good
sound
time.
Like fun,
and it's
fair.
Like, was I the artist or was the like the paintbrush the artist? Like, who really had the control here? Like,
where's the ownership at?
Yeah, that sort of thing. So I just found that really interesting.
It is really interesting. That's really fun.
I feel like there's been loads of hidden fun facts here and a lot of references to other pop culture. So appropriate, maybe.
I would say so. It made us think of it a little bit there. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I think it is because it was a Netflix original film. Unicorn Store, if you saw that with Brie Larson. Did you watch it?
I watched it.
That kind of made us think of that because she's got like this really like happy, lovely, carefree, kind of messy, but it's her own sort of thing. She knows what she's doing, kind of art style. Brie Larson's character.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. But just a really nice, just a fun, cute, uplifting movie. And the Samuel L. Jackson and also a unicorn. So
yeah,
ultimately, what more would you want from a film?
It was very sweet. It was very feel good.
Yeah.
And very, creative. Because she's just like messy artist, mm-hmm. messy in every sense.
Yeah, she's like recently finished like university or grad school, just wants to be an artist, but she has to do grown-up stuff, like get a temp job in an office.
Yeah, and like her style of art is very like happy because wasn't she like in art school and everyone else is doing like serious art and she wants to do like fun art.
She was like going off the canvas, baby, and like just having a really nice time. I think that's the opening scene, actually. She's just having a whale of a time going absolutely ham on this canvas. And then she turns around and all our tutors are like,
Yeah.
And you see everyone else is like pristine, perfect little pieces in that.
Gross. Think outside the box, guys.
Oh, think of the canvas, yo.
Yo.
We're hip and cool and down with the kids, yep. So we can say yo, right?
I turned 25, so I'm no longer a kid. Sorry. Oh, yeah. I've just denounced my childhood.
Oh no. So does that mean as a 24-year-old I'm still in my childhood?
Baby.
I am a baby.
Like a newborn.
That's true.
Just thriving around.
I'm also thriving around though, to be fair.
I like that better. Wow, this is devolved.
What were we talking about?
Liechtenstein.
Yes.
So good.
Thank you,
Hatton, for bringing like first bacon, now Liechtenstein. They're bringing the bacon.
I love to think about that. If no one knew that they were artists, first of all, that
sounds like a really
bacon,
weird German dinner.
But then also brought like representatives of the country of Liechtenstein. Who knows? Love it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, to kind of ring it back in to, you know, talking about the art that we went to go see. I don't know if I have a favorite. I think I liked the entire reflection series because on one hand, they're just fun to look at. But then on the other hand, if you kind of look more in depth at to what it's reflecting on, either like reflecting on other elements of pop culture or like his own past work,
yeah,
just cool. Like, it's nice for like a second viewing if you want to go back and be like, let's have a think.
Definitely,
let's have a good old thinky thing.
And I've actually just had a realization right now as you were saying that.
Ooh.
That I've just mentioned Monet.
Uh-huh.
And part of the reflection series is basically referencing Monet because it's,
ooh,
lily pads.
Oh,
and it's watery, and it's,
yeah,
so it's like got mirror elements to it for the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the like classic like dot pattern and block colors,
yeah,
with like clear little flowers and stuff, and it's lovely.
Nice.
I just feel like there's not too much to analyze here, and that's not a bad thing. I feel,
yeah,
like a lot of it is just, it's really pleasing to,
yeah,
look at, and there'll be some cool references, or, mm-hmm, it'll make you think of some cool references.
Yeah.
And then you can place the face to like an artist you might not have known about otherwise when you already knew their work. So you're basically already an expert.
Oh, there you go.
There's so many good things here.
Yeah. It's, yeah, just overall fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, as we said, we're not going to talk about them this episode. We might do a follow-up. Who knows? I'm not like guaranteeing anything to anyone, but there's some really really like good accompanying exhibitions that are like, I think that they kind of complement Liechtenstein quite well.
I think so. Well, the complement, no, well, absolutely, yeah, but a cool thing about them just separately is that they're both very like related to the history of the Hatton, which I,
yes,
think is just interesting because they do that sometimes, and that's
so
just nice.
A bit of history overall.
Yeah.
You got some art history, got some Hatton specific history,
mm-hmm,
got all sorts.
It's pretty
so
sick.
Give it a go.
Tis a good time.
We want to hear about it.
Indeed.
So please get in touch with us as well. We'll actually love people getting in,
yeah,
touch.
Yeah, it's
so
very nice.
Email me, not Alice.
Okay.
Me. Okay, Alice. Alice, you can email Alice as well.
Oh.
She'll just start crying.
Yeah, no, she will.
So we're at heyartwhatsgood@gmail.com.
That's true. Or at heyartwhatsgood on Instagram and Twitter.
And heyartwhatsgood.com.
Indeed. Nice and easy. Simple to remember.
So yeah, if you go, get in touch. You know, what's your favourite pop art? Can we see it anywhere?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Because
I feel like we've opened a door to pop art now.
I think so. Because I never really considered myself specifically a pop art fan.
I was just wild about it.
It's pop art.
Yeah, that is. I didn't think I was wild about it. But
as it turns out.
Yeah, like now, like post this conversation, I'm quite excited.
Oh, well, perfect. We'll have to keep an eye out,
yeah,
for other stuff. Well, this exhibition is on until the 4th of January. So you've got some time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, man.
You could go on a cute Christmas date.
Oh, you could do that.
That would be nice.
Because it'd be nice and dark outside. And, ooh, you can sit in the big room where the Lothar Goetz exhibition is and sit at the nice bay window. Because I just do that anyways, because it's a nice,
yeah,
place to sit.
It's peaceful. It's nice.
Peaceful. Yeah.
And the Hatton's just such a good location for lunchtime art.
Indeed.
So,
ooh,
give it a go, guys.
There's a thing I wrote down. Speaking of lunchtime art.
Oh.
So,
is this what you're looking forward to, or is this
no,
a bonus?
Oh, I can't go to this because I'm at work. But
oh,
if you don't work at 9 till 5, on the 21st of November, between 2 and 2.45, there is a free talk by Dr. Kevin Lotary about printmaking and pop art at the Hatton.
When?
The 21st of November. between 2 and 2:45. I believe it's free to go, but you have to like book it on their website or on like on Eventbrite or something.
I'm super working.
Me too. But hey, if anyone else can go, let me know how it was.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be amazing.
Really fun. It's like an informal kind of talk daily. And that sounds nice.
Yeah. If you love learning, go.
Oh, there you go.
It's free.
It is free.
What more do you want?
I do love free things. It's quite good.
Oh, never mind. I wish I could go.
I know.
Next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, a way we like to end these episodes is talk about something that we're looking forward to. Unfortunately, can't say I'm looking forward to that because I can't go. But one thing I am looking forward to, which I can go to, and in fact I am, is this Saturday, so the day this episode comes out, I'm going to a Set the Car Short Film Festival in York.
Nice.
So that
yeah.
should be fun. Just a little filmy day, see some films.
Love it. Have a great time.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it. I've got me train tickets. I've got my itinerary because you really need one for a film festival. My God.
That's why you're good at them yeah. and I'm not. Oh, well, look at, what's your Alice the Triplet?
I am.
Alice the Triplet on Instagram, because I have no doubt your story will be beautiful.
Hopefully.
I am looking forward to something little, something that's like one of the small things that brings me joy. And that's going charity shopping. I'm taking my friend Emma charity shopping. We're probably going to go around Whitley Bay because I go around the charity shops in North Shields all the time.
So you've bought all the good stuff and you need to go somewhere else. Got you.
And I'm from Whitley Bay. So that they are my like OG charity shops. And Emma's in a, she wants to get some new clothes, but doesn't actually want to spend any more money. And then... yeah, it's just charity shopping is good for your wallet, good for the environment, good for charity, and it's fun to play around with clothes.
Yeah,
so I'm excited.
Oh, good. I'm imagining, I've definitely talked about this movie before, Wild Child.
Yeah,
you know, so if you've seen the wonderful
absolutely
cinematic
talked about this.
Classic that is the 2009 film Wild Child starring Emma Roberts, they have a fun fashion montage at some charity shop in somewhere in Yorkshire, which the charity shop would not have this much amazing stuff. However, for the purposes of a film, it's fantastic, so I fully expect a montage.
Okay. Because not only in that film do they have a montage where they try on loads of good stuff, when they go to the dance that they're shopping for, they're wearing completely different outfits, which are also lovely.
Oh my God, I know.
And that's just,
like,
I mean...
they're not wearing, like, what, the fake astronaut outfit they found, or, like, the wonderful suit or whatever. They're wearing other nice, normal, very noughties clothes.
Yeah. Oh, the noughties. And, like, charity shops in the noughties. Nah. That's when I started charity shopping. Oh, but maybe I didn't know my own style then, and that's what it was.
Maybe. That could be
but
it.
But I'm very excited. I'm on the hunt for good denim and a cashmere something.
Ooh.
Because I found a cashmere jumper in a charity shop before, and I wore it until it literally fell apart.
Nice.
So then Emma suggested, why don't we, if we have time, go to the charity shops in Jesmond?
Ooh.
So
get
I'm going to do
rich
that.
People stuff.
Exactly.
Love it. Okay.
So then we're going to do that. And if I go to Jesmond, we're going to go to Something Good Newcastle.
Oh.
I'm going to give everyone a tip. If you want to be a little bit more environmental, like environmentally...
conscious?
Yeah.
Friendly?
Yeah.
One of those
All
words?
Those things. If you just want to, like, you know, take control of your carbon footprint, then I would advise popping in to Something Good Newcastle. As you know, I work for Buy the Kilo, which is a zero waste shop in Tynemouth. And Something Good Newcastle is like a similar situation in Jesmond. So it's all like zero waste food and home products and like personal care and stuff like that. It's really cool. And I want to go because they've got some books. They've got the Extinction Rebellion book, This Is Not a Drill, which I haven't read and I really want to. So yeah, just I want to pop in there, and if I find any more kind of sustainable stuff around, I'll shout about it because I'm all about that.
Hell yeah, dude! Lovely.
Oh, well, okay.
On that positive, wonderful note, thank you so much for listening. This has been a fun one. We went off on several tangents, but otherwise, been very,
you
very
like
fun.
It. Yeah. I hope people are here for the tangents. Otherwise, they stopped listening a while ago.
I think so. So for anyone who stuck around,
thank
you so much.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.